Good morning. It's time for another edition of The Basics in Economic Development. And here he is, Mark Wickersham.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning, sir.
Today's show, I have another acronym to talk about.
I like acronyms. Go for it.
RFI. Requests for Information. And it's an obscure sort of topic until you understand that it really is at the heart of industrial development. A significant part of the economic development business world, if you will, that I work in is influenced by professional consultants that are known as site selectors. They're not unlike real estate brokers, but they're specifically retained by companies to evaluate and do research on locations that those companies might be interested in either potentially creating a new facility or relocating existing facilities. But they want to have a research library of data that shows the types of amenities that communities have, the types of properties that are out there. And so these consultants do a lot of statistical analysis. They oftentimes are more, their training background is more traditional in terms of what you would think of with an actual economist. They're evaluating tax policy and real estate prices and labor market prices and so forth to try to put together a research report for their clients to make sure that everyone kind of knows what resources and opportunities are available. Many of us, listening to the broadcast and living in Northeast Indiana, we've heard the news about Amazon and Google making major investments in Fort Wayne. And those processes, those investments, started with site selection research by each company. Again, tons of research about communities take place prior to anybody's decision to move forward officially to either acquire or make an attempt to acquire. But, to make this easier to understand, industries and Amazon and Google, those sorts of things are pretty big in scope, but it really isn't much different to the research that a home buyer would do prior to buying a property where to live. It's questions like, well, what's the location like? What's the neighborhood like? What are the neighbors like as individuals? How much does it cost to live there? What sort of amenities does the community have that makes it interesting for families or individuals to live in a community? And ultimately, you're boiling it down to one question. Well, why pick Huntington County instead of Illinois or wherever? So if you think about using business language and data points instead of what you would do to buy a home, it's a process that's very similar. It's just done on a bigger scale and in more detail. So companies are often looking for a place to fit in as well. Just like the rest of us when we're thinking about buying a home or moving or wherever, locating to a different community, we're all trying to find that place that we feel comfortable and enjoy living in and feel safe. And, I mentioned in a previous show that there were international companies that sometimes are worried about the international governments actually stealing from them and that kind of thing. Nobody wants to live in an environment like that. You want to live where you feel welcome. You want to live where you feel like you've got a voice and so forth. Well, just as individuals are looking for that, companies are looking for that as well. The other thing that's important for people like me to remember in the economic development arena, site selectors actually are misnamed. They should really be known as site eliminators. Because when you think about it, there's land all over the world, right? You can go anywhere you want to go, basically. So how do you eliminate choices to narrow it down to ones that really end up being good? And so what professionals try to do in the economic development arena is don't give a site selector a reason to take you off the list. that's every bit as important as promoting the reasons you should be on the list. Don't give them a reason to take you off. And so, and when they're looking and evaluating at, hundreds of locations a year, it's important that, we keep in mind the types of things that make us an attractive location. Also, it's important to remember that site selectors, consultants have already conducted their own confidential research before they ever check out the economic developer or a mayor or a county government or that kind of thing. They'll do what most of us would do behind the scenes. They'll eat at a local restaurant and listen to gossip. They'll go to a ball game and listen to, and see who's around and listen to local gossip. They'll go to a gas station and see how things are going. I had a site selector one time tell me that one of the best things that happened to him in keeping Huntington on the list of competitive sites was he went to Arby's for lunch and they got his order right and they got his change right and he didn't have to wait.
Wow.
So sometimes it's things that we all take for granted that turn the table for us to make things work. But site selectors are typically issuing what are called then, back to my original theme, an RFI, or request for information. Once you've not been eliminated from the preliminaries and they actually reach out to you, they'll send a request for information, typically on a very tight turnaround. It's incredibly competitive. But they're going to ask for things if they've narrowed in on a location, they're going to ask me to go ahead and put together some basics. What's the street address of the site? Well, they also want the longitude and latitude of the site so they can communicate to corporate offices and global investors where the actual opportunity is. Well, then they're going to want to know the size of the subject property that they're researching. How much acreage is there, for example? Or what's the square footage of an existing building? They're going to want to know an explanation of why is the subject property actually even available for sale. Sometimes that matters. They're going to want to know the utility capacities, the transportation assets. Does it have a rail siding? Is it located with an interstate exit? Does it have an airport nearby? Is there a port of entry somewhere nearby and manageable? Then they're going to want to know the workforce demographics, wages, benefit scales, unionization interests and levels, skill sets and training opportunities. They're going to want to know about regulatory and tax environments, public safety, hospitals, health insurance, housing, educational opportunities, quality of life amenities. They're also going to want to follow the announcements of area employers either expanding or closing. And then they're going to want to know the other unique economic assets that the community has to offer. Now, once those are submitted, there'll be a number of follow-up questions often. Have there been geotechnical research reports conducted to know the soil types on a particular property that might be of interest? Have there been archaeological studies done, for example? I'll never forget working on River Fork West, the new industrial park, when we were in the original land acquisition process. I did an archaeological report because the title search showed the original owner was Jean-Baptiste Richardville of the Miami Nation. And I thought, okay, I need to know whether there are archaeological things on this property that could become a problem. So you do that type of research, and if all falls into place, there still are a thousand other dynamics, but you continue to provide information, you host site selectors on properties to evaluate them on site, and you do your best to have a professional working relationship, never knowing what the results are going to end up being. The other thing that's nearly impossible to know is whether a site selector actually, this is all done confidentially, so you don't know, I don't know, whether the site selector actually has a live project or are they just kind of testing us to see if we'd be, you know, the type of place that they'd want to talk to if a real project does pop up? It's also nearly impossible to learn if a site selector and a company, maybe they've already chosen a site, and they're just doing the RFI process to be sure they didn't miss anything, or they're trying to use the RFI process to get a better price in another location. It's an incredibly competitive process. And when you think about it, there are some 1,500 economic development organizations in the U.S., and typically on an annual basis, we're chasing about 200 projects a year.
Wow.
And in Huntington County's case, we're ranked 16th out of the 520 small market groups like us in the U.S., according to Site Selection Magazine. So we're really competitive in an intensely competitive process. I mentioned earlier, like 37 attraction projects that were new to Huntington County since I've been here. Four of those were RFI site selector projects that really stand out for a number of reasons. And I just want to share a couple of comments about each of them before we wrap things up. The Tianjin Automotive Project was started originally through a site selector out of Detroit. And his name is Garrett Danvers, and Garrett was just delightful to work with. He's retired at this point. He was in his 70s and was an old school developer that you didn't have to feel like you were getting worked over in the process. He asked good questions, he wanted good answers, he was fair about the entire process, and had a great relationship with the company that he served. And the trust was there, the transparency was there, the process was really good. And it resulted in Tianjin as our largest employer. Ecolabs, regional distribution center that's in Huntington, was a project from a consulting firm from Dallas. That one was a lot more competitive because the consultant themselves owned a building in Dallas that they wanted Ecolab to take. And we won the deal for Huntington, and it was just a really competitive process. Helena Chemical had a site selector out of Indianapolis. Helena has a terminal on the east side of Huntington near what we refer to as our tank farms. They understood that property had been a little bit controversial over the decades, and the site selector, we developed confidence in one another, had a good relationship, and were able to do that. Most recently, Everfresh Fruit Company out of, this is not a joke, the name is Boring, Oregon. The name of the town is Boring, Oregon. They have acquired what was the Golfo Dinopoli property north of Warren just in the last couple of weeks. So the company's new to the community, but they used a site selection company also out of Dallas, a different one from the Ecolab project that I mentioned. But we, you know, it's an incredibly difficult process. It's incredibly competitive, but if you have the right if you develop the right professional relationships, it can be to the benefit of everybody.
Man, that is absolutely incredible. And are they online yet, or still in the process?
No, it'll be a while before Everfresh has their plant up and running. There's a lot of equipment that needs to be removed from the existing property. There's equipment that needs to be installed, permits that need to be achieved, but they are the property owners at this point.
Wow, that's absolutely incredible.
Yeah, their intention is to invest $13.5 million to get that property up to speed for their use.
Amazing, absolutely amazing. So it sounds like really good growth happening.
All sorts of fun. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, appreciate another great episode. We'll see you back here next week.
Thank you.
All right, thank you, sir. Let's get back into the music. Z103.com.